Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Chaotic Adequate. This is the brand spanking new Dungeons & Dragons podcast, which you've probably heard me and Steve mention once or twice over the last few months.
I've been debating how we should brand this. So part of me is like, do we want D&D in the name? Do we want D&D in the title? Because if we call it the Dungeons & Dragons podcast, that's going to alienate listeners. So listeners, what you really need to know is, this is a comedy podcast set in the world of fantasy roleplay. Imagine if Tolkien had had a sense of humour instead of 7 degrees in Anglo-Saxon. That's roughly where
seven
we're headed.
Degrees
I don't know if there are or not. It was in a comedy sentence. I was making it up. So you're about to meet my character, Chagrin Battlefounder, who is, I mean, he's the breakout character. Let's be honest, he's the one that people are already ordering T-shirts of before we've even put it out, just based on the pictures. I'm getting emails going, when are Chagrin T-shirts available? We're making Chagrin merchandise. You're going to meet some other characters that Gregory will tell you about in a second. And the important thing you need to know is this is very much a kind of Tolkien world, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. It's very much a fantasy-based world, but it is slightly more anachronistic than that.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if some modern technology pops up occasionally in a way which may seem sort of quite at odds with a fantasy setting.
Sure, but some of the comedy D&D podcasts I listen to are like set in space, or they're set in London, in the Victorian era with rockets. But we're much more in that kind of traditional elves and dwarves and goblins.
And like rolling hills and taverns and all of that nonsense which we love so damn much. As well as Chagrin Battlefounder, you will also meet Tithe.
Yes.
Who at the moment is bereft of a surname.
Yeah.
But he's a warlock, a very nice, studious, friendly warlock with not many flaws, to be honest, other than obviously he does feel attracted to the sins of the city.
Well, the other flaw, not a flaw, but, you know, he's full of simmering hatred due to everyone he knows being killed.
Oh, yeah, but he holds on to the hatred in such a loose way that it almost seems immaterial.
Amazing. So who else are they going to meet?
They're going to meet Morag.
We're not even going to try and pronounce her surname, are we?
No.
No, it's in Finnish.
Exactly.
We're not going to do it right.
But Morag, now she is... she's a very, very angry woman.
Very complicated as well.
I say woman.
I feel like Amanda must have done about 6 months' work researching her background. She's the only character with footnotes.
Yeah. But
and how did they end up where they are at the start? Because the episode just starts with our friends coming together.
What's happened is the three of them, who are all leaving their hometowns for various reasons, they've all seen an advert for some sort of adventure. There's an adventure that they all want to go on just to essentially get them out of home.
Yeah. These are all people who've been driven away from where they were.
Yeah, there's some horrible
reasons to get together and try and make some money and fill some time and do some
in a basic sort of temp work scenario, they all go... Well,
are they gig economy adventurers?
Essentially, yeah.
Amazing.
You know when you take a temp job and you go, well, I know it's going to be me and a couple of other people, don't know who they are, but whatever, I'm sure we'll get
along. Lovely, brilliant.
It's that sort of thing. There were three positions and each of these got through. And they very quickly find out what this adventure is going to be.
This is fantastic. Listeners, prepare to be dropped into the cold open of Chaotic Adequate.
Hello, my name is Gregory Aikman. I am your DM, and today I am joined by...
Amanda DeJoya.
Hello, I'm Angus Donnacan.
Steve Cross here, a comedian and a bunch of other things that will cost you more if you want me to do them.
As the three of you start off by standing outside an old tavern, each of you have answered an advert saying that there was some sort of quest for a tremendous amount of money, and you all decided to go along with it, not knowing who your companions would be on this mission. And there you stand, just outside the Bucket of Blood Tavern. Just outside the pub as well, there's a light splattering of trees, some old gnarled oaks that seem like they've seen better days. Perhaps people have been attacking them or burning bits of them. Who knows?
The difference between attacking them and burning bits of them. I look at them to see if they're burned or have got hack and slash marks.
All right, do you want to roll for perception?
Yeah. What? How do I do that? This is our first roll.
Exactly. It's just you looking at some trees. It's just you worrying about some trees.
It's 19.
Well, you clearly see that a few of the branches are a bit scorched.
Where's perception? I get plus one to a perception, so that's actually a 20.
A hard 20. They've obviously been scorched.
Right.
It looks like a fire has taken them, but in such an unnatural way that presumably someone has at some point intentionally tried to set fire to those trees.
I look to my two colleagues, so I don't know. Because we've just turned up. I don't even know whether they're here for the same thing.
Are you here for the thing?
Did you answer the thing?
Because I answered the thing.
I turn to them and I go, this looks like the work of fucking magic users.
Yeah, classic case.
Fucking hate magic users.
Dude, I hate magic users. I mean, I am a magic user.
I'm establishing my character early.
I mean, I am a magic user.
What?
But I also hate them. So...
Your life must be terribly confusing.
It's awful. I have awful nightmares. I just am racked with self-loathing.
Ah, my brother.
It's awful. Who are you?
I like gold and I like to play darts. Why can't we just fuck off to the pub and play darts?
Yeah, that sounds like
good. Well, she with well, you.
Well, no, but I mean, she was following me for the last half a mile up the road, but... She's all right. We shared some bread.
I think she might have failed a perception roll, given that she's outside a pub and is asking us to fuck off to the pub. It's like, it's there.
Maybe she wants us to go to a different pub.
What?
Maybe this is her pub. This is her turf.
The three of you still stood outside the pub. Would you like to go? You want to go inside the pub? Get inside the fucking pub, people.
Yeah, let's not deliberate.
It looks like it's going to start raining any moment, and none of you are prepared for a light splattering of rain.
Do I need to do a perception roll to find out what these other characters look like, or can I just look at them?
You can just look at them, and they can tell you what they look like, or you can magic up what they look like with your mind, if you wish.
No, because I hate magic.
Okay,
I'm not going to do that.
You can observe up with your eyes and mind.
Or engineering up, being a dwarf. I might mine up some facts, but I'm not going to.
You can mine
magic.
Them for knowledge if you want. I mean, the three of you have stood there. You've already had an argument about whether or not magic users are good or not. You clearly want to play darts. There's a pub there. It's going to rain. Do you want to go in, or do you want
to
just
remind you both that this started? I took a look at both of you, said nothing, and walked over to look at some trees really closely.
But very perceptively.
I've got my priorities
right,
sorted.
Deep, we can see how perceptively you look at those trees. There's a man who's seen trees before, I said to myself.
In a bizarre turn, the pub door swings open.
I turn to the character who I don't know if they're a magic user or not, and I go, you want a pub? No, I'll do it character voice. You want a pub? My character voice is all over the place. There's a fucking pub.
Yes, let us enter.
The three of you.
It's a pub that needs to make a bucket of blood, not the most enticing pub.
It's almost like the people who named the pub were listening to Nick Cave at the time. The three of you.
I smite someone for metagaming by talking about Nick Cave. I hit the wall as I walk into the pub and I curse and I go, I hate metagaming more than I hate magic users.
As you punch the wall of the bucket of blood, the most meta pub in all of the land, you realise that your hands get quite injured. What? Immediately, the stone wall of the pub hurts your hand and gives you a little bit of damage.
I hate to metagame.
I can use lay on
I've
hands.
I've got strength 8. I can't punch anything hard enough to hurt myself.
I mean, to be honest, I feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves with you battling the pub.
I'll use lay on hands even though he hates magic.
Thankfully, the very, very early injury bestowed upon whoever this character is, we haven't introduced one another yet, is immediately healed by your kind magic.
I immediately hit the wall again, redoing the injury, because I fucking hate magic. I'm not being healed by some magic. I hit the wall in exactly the same
way.
But
I'm very charismatic, so I can say, why are you doing that? Why don't you go get a pint instead?
Why are you working out if I hurt myself? I've got a +5 constitution saving throw.
So you'll be just... All right, your hand is bruised slightly. It'll probably blow over.
I hold the bruised hand up in front of the person who used magic on me without my consent. And I just hold it in front of her and I go, there.
And while all this is going on, you choose to breathe for a quick moment and look around the pub. Inside the pub, which is wood panelling from floor to ceiling and walls and everything.
I do a perception check to find out what kind of wood and wood panelling is.
Pine. Amazingly, they've gone with pine.
Wait, you don't know that? I haven't rolled it yet.
This is a plain deal pub.
4 + 1, 5.
They go with... You say that it is pine. Balsa. You imagine that it is pine.
It's a classic balsa pub.
It does seem like an odd choice of wood.
Yeah.
Almost like it was the first wood to spring to mind. And not being familiar with different woods and how to make buildings, you assumed wood panelling like off of offices on telly would be enough.
Listen, I'm just happy I got to use my +1 modifier to nature rolls.
As you look around the pub, to the right of you, there are two large tables. One empty with 4 chairs around it, and one with 2 people sat along. One is a sort of frog-type man who you recognise immediately as a bullywug. And he has sat down with a chap who looks remarkably like the sort of man who knows all about horses.
Right.
He is sat with a book saying, I know all about horses.
Right.
To the left of you, there is a bar with a man just staring at you while he's cleaning a pint glass. And far in the far right-hand corner is an open fire with a couple of cloaked figures sat down, throwing things repeatedly in the fire. And at the far left-hand corner is a further table with one weeping man sat upon it.
I would like to introduce myself to the people I've walked in the pub with, because I feel that either we're going to have to decide whether we sit together at this tavern or whether we two of us go and sit down with Frogman and Horseman and the other one is just left on their own having to talk to the men who are repeatedly throwing the same things into the fire, which sounds very dangerous.
I want to talk to the weeping guy.
I introduce myself to Angus's character's back as he walks off to talk to the weeping guy.
I mean, I said I want to.
I go, hold, friend, I'm... Ah, right.
I turn and listen.
I say, friend, it saddens me deeply to hear that you are a magic user. I myself hate magic users more than anything in the world for the terrible, terrible things that they have done to my people. And I look at him meaningfully because he's meant to know this history. And then I don't tell him the history, but I just keep going. And I go, I find myself in this tavern. Trying to raise funds to raise an army to smite all the magic users of this kingdom. What brings you here?
Myself, I am wandering the land in search of employment and further magical education, for though I distrust...
What?
Wait for it!
What?
Wait for it! For though I distrust magical users, I have to learn more... I have to learn more magical stuff, because... my village, you see, was vanished during a duel between a powerful wizard and something else, another powerful wizard. I think I couldn't tell.
Are you then attempting to fight fire with fire?
Precisely, which is a very bad way.
I've tried that before. Let me tell you, not a clever move.
As
the fire wins.
As the two anti-magic magician, magic horrible angry people discuss them. Amanda's character.
I go again. Is she
them.
With you?
Tell us,
fair maiden.
Oh, I'm no maiden. I'm Morag.
Sorry, I'm a dwarf. You all look the same to me.
Yes. I'm trying to raise money to get the attention of my father, who's a human lord. My elvish mother died, but I speak infernal to better communicate with the demons in the land of the dead. And I like throwing things. I'm not very bright, so I'm going
I
to walk
enjoy
by.
Enjoy how forthcoming you are with the details about your life.
So
I find them, they were very much to hand. I really enjoyed how fluently you got all that across.
Morag quickly announces herself as being both not very bright and a fan of throwing things.
Yes. So it's time for me to walk towards those two gentlemen throwing things to the fire, because I bet I could throw them more accurately than them.
I'm going to go. Do you know the ways of magic? And I'm going to finger a hammer as I do it.
I'm a paladin. My magic is not arcane. I get all the power through the god of the dead.
What? This doesn't sound positive. I say to my colleague, who's also a magic user, that I hate.
The three of you look incredulously at one another.
I'm paralyzed. So I turn to her and I go, listen, I fucking hate magic users, but you're all right.
Oh.
You're not like the other ones.
And after getting to know each other a bit, you realize there are a few options ahead of you. Morag wishes to walk towards the fire to speak to the strange cloaked people
throwing
shit
into
the
thing. That's what's attracting her. There's just a throwing action.
Yes.
And Angus.
Tythe. Thank you. My name is Tythe. Hi, guys.
Tythe wishes to speak to the weeping man as he is drawn immediately to tears.
I approach the weeping man. What, oh, friend? What ails you, I say?
I stand behind Angus, just looking menacing. Sorry, behind Tythe.
My name is Brian. Are you the three heroes or the two heroes and a third hero who seems to be stood by the fire throwing shit with strangers?
I immediately get a chip on my shoulder. I can be a hero. You're saying dwarves can't be a hero. I can be a hero. Come outside the pub and say that.
I didn't mean to offend you. I'm sorry. My mind is not what it once was. You see...
I walk over to the drama.
she's attracted by tears, I say to Ty.
Oh, welcome, third brave, noble warrior. I imagine a warrior. Are you all warriors? Did you answer the advert? The advert calling for heroes to help?
Myself, I am a warlock, but I have a certain heroish renown in my own village, which is now gone, by the way.
I answered the ad for gold, because gold's the only path to true freedom in this land.
Well, with gold I can help. I can offer you some gold. My son has been kidnapped.
By whom?
By the trapper people.
Did they trap him? I presume they must have done. Oh, there's a clue in the name.
I say loudly, ah, I have heard of the trapper people. And then I turn to Tythe quietly and I go, I haven't.
You haven't.
I'm just trying to get his confidence.
Trapper people, I've heard of them in my bounty hunting adventure.
So what do you know about the trapper people, Morag?
You're all familiar with these trapper people.
Oh, yeah, totally. Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
It's fine. Style it out.
Perhaps you can explain what's happening to my friends here.
Well, let me just explain, just in case you haven't heard of them. The Trapper people are renowned for having a stand-in name that was never returned to. And they are only...
The misnomer tribe.
They are misnomers.
You know them well, yeah.
The misnomer.
They are here only to vanquish the land.
Do they use magic?
They don't use magic.
I don't think this is our problem then.
Would it be a problem to you if they did use magic?
I would hammer them.
They do use magic.
They
are famous for using magic and destroying and vanquishing love and hope and all that is good in this land. And they took my child. My boy, he was but 27 years old.
What fate do you feel has befallen your child?
Fucking rubbish fate. Like, the worst kind of fate.
How
magic in 27.
Why don't you hire a bounty hunter to find him?
What race are you, sir, that someone is 27 and still a child? I myself am only 23 and yet a great warrior.
I am a human. There are not...
spit on the floor.
There are not many of us left in this world, and the trappers wish to make sure there are none of us.
What race are these trappers, sir?
They are the magicest, most magicest of all people. I have heard rumours that they are a magic goblin, a goblin tribe.
There's loathsome of all the goblins.
See if they're lying. I'm too stupid to.
No.
I'm going to do detect evil on you.
I don't do perception because I'm just the levels of different racism that I'm going through in my brain have paralyzed it and I can't do anything.
I do detect evil on the crying man to see if he's lying.
Okay. You quickly find out, even without rolling, you can tell that I am telling you the truth. For the most part, I am definitely telling you the truth. If you wish to know more, you may need to roll.
All right, I'm going
to
roll.
Yeah, roll, man. Do it.
11.
You look deeply into the eyes, the
Greg's had 3 months to prep for this, and he hasn't read How Magic Works.
That's because I've been too busy writing cool names and then thinking I'll come back to that in a bit and change the name.
The Trapper
people. And now we're left with the Trapper people who have stolen Brian's child.
I asked Brian what his child's called.
We got to figure out if he's lying or
and
not.
What does he have any middle names?
William.
What's your surname, okay. Brian?
Akerman.
So what happens after I roll this 16?
you see that although his 27-year-old child has indeed been kidnapped but 3 days ago, it's not perhaps true that these goblins have magical abilities. It's almost like he's trying to say anything to get you on board, but you see that his grief and his pain is real, and that for the most part, the story is real.
Is your detect evil powerful enough that you can tell us if anyone else in the pub's evil? He says, checking his own alignment. No, I'm fine.
I only focused it on this man, so I turn to the dwarf and say, this man is lying to you.
I say, I have a name. It is Chagrin. Chagrin, in your human tongue.
Chagrin?
No, I'm half elven.
No,
Chagrin.
Chagrin, it's a dwarven word. It's not a French word. It's a dwarven word.
I'm half elven, Chagrin. Chagrin, this human's lying to you. His enemies have no magic.
I'm not lying. Why would I lie? I used to know a man called Chagrin.
Right, I'm going straight to intimidation. I'm going to intimidation.
We are
I'm going to hold a hammer. I'm going to say,
pub.
You say my name wrong. You say my name wrong one more time. It's hammer time. And I'm going to roll intimidation. 18 plus 4.
There's
one thing I'm good at, and it's intimidation.
I'm sorry, Chagrin. Was it Chagrin?
It's Chagrin.
I'm sorry. Just please help me. Help my son.
How much cash?
How much gold?
How much gold?
I can give you 20 apiece. 20 gold apiece.
No, I leave and go towards the fire.
I turn to Tithe and I go, I've got a very expensive ball-bearing habit. I've got 1,000 now. 20 will barely buy me 1,000 more.
40! 40 gold! 40 gold
40
each.
40 gold each.
I can give you all 20 now and 20 when you deliver my son.
Right.
That sounds a bit right. Nice one. Good ball bearing haggling. No. Sorry. I stutter when I'm excited about money.
As a bounty hunter, I say we should check out the other things in this pub.
You want to shop around, do you?
No. Yes.
No, I take her for a little sidebar. I go, listen, whatever happens, we take the 20 and then we fuck off. We don't have to do this. We could take another mission. He's giving us 20 up front, right? He's an idiot. Can I explain what an idiot is?
A side quest.
Brian throws 3 pouches on the table and they all hit with a satisfying clink of presumably 20 gold apiece.
Open and count it in front of us, knave.
Do you doubt me?
You lied.
To be fair, I did lie.
Death comes for us all. Count it out, the gold.
I do that thing where you kind of fake restrain someone to try and make it look like they're much more violent and ready for it than they really are. And in doing so, also, I'd grab a bum.
Intimidation. Use intimidation on Chagrin.
Roll for intimidation on Chagrin.
14, and I have a buffer on it.
What's my saving throw? Against intimidation.
You don't get a saving throw against intimidation when you're groping people you've just met. Morag looks at you and you immediately withdraw your hand.
Yeah, I
look
chagrined.
Sheepish.
I look chagrined.
Brian, were we to take on this quest of yours, where would we go?
There's an old
I walk around behind Brian, and while Tithe's trying to do this really serious face at him, I'm like pulling stupid faces and doing little bunny ears over Brian's head.
Brian knows.
Just to try and put Tithe off.
I use my quite high constitution to resist the classic clowning coming from behind Brian.
Brian notices a slight smirk on Tithe's face, but decides to ignore it and counts the gold in front of all of them, showing that there were indeed 20 pieces in each bag, 20 pieces of solid gold, and says, I've heard rumours that they're just at the old stables down the way. It's a short horse ride away,
We don't have horses.
We don't have horses. How many days begrudging
will you supply
walk
us,
is it?
Will you supply us with horses for this journey?
I'm sorry.
I say normal-sized horses, please, not short horses.
Would you be okay on a normal-sized horse?
Dragon finds...
I just hold a hammer. I'm going for another intimidation check. That's 12.
I mean, I don't mean anything, Chagrin, I don't mean anything. I just, you're a dwarf, aren't
Chagrin
you?
Chagrin finds, I sense that Chagrin finds less than normal-sized horses patronising. Yeah.
That's exactly it.
I think that's it.
Don't you speak down to me, human, my eyes are down here.
I am sat down, I am at eye level with you, it's okay. There's a chap...
Slightly below eye level, accurate.
There's a chap in this pub who does have access to horses. You can have a word with him.
Which one is it? Is it the man who looks like a half frog man? Is it the crying man? Is it the men by the fire? Which man is it that has access to horses, damn it? And I do another intimidation check.
Good.
14.
I'm sorry. It's the man sat down reading the book saying, I know all about horses, fucking obviously. He's the one who knows about horses, sat with the half-frog man. That man he sat with as a bullywug. None of us understand what the fuck he's saying in his frog language, but he sat next to a horse man. I see... Tithe, you raised your hand.
Well,
sir.
I have arcana and animal handling, so as a sort of skill, it's just stuff that I've got in the back pocket. You know, learned it just at a gap year, and I reckon I could talk to the frogman. I reckon I could have a chat with him, see what he's about.
I mean, it's up to you, but just thank you, please. Tell
I think
me.
We should talk to the horseman. We need horses. He knows all about them.
Okay, we go over to the horse guy.
Brian wipes the tears from his eyes and yells to you, sorry, so is that a yes on saving my son? You've left the gold on the table.
How do you feel about it, Morag? Because you seem like quite a hard... I feel like you've done this sort of thing before. You've negotiated.
I'll get the gold, guys. Don't worry. I'll hold on to it for
I
you.
I step aside with tithe.
I pick up all 60 gold.
All these deeds, if we take the gold and don't help them, would surely consign us to prison. We should find an official that we could assist to and bribe to keep us out of jail. I think we should shop around. This man is weak and so is his son.
I add 60 to the number of gold pieces on my character sheet.
Yep, you almost got away with that if you hadn't announced it.
Just so resting. They might know. Their
I
characters
take, I raise
don't know.
My
their characters don't know. They might know.
That's true.
See, I turn back to the table and see there's no gold. My eyes raise to Chagrin.
I
raise my morning star.
I say, Brian, why have you taken the gold back? And because I get +4 on deception.
I haven't taken...
22 on a deception.
I haven't taken the gold. Morag looks at Brian, fully convinced that he has taken the 60 gold pieces back, which were once at the table.
I didn't know you could do deception on other player characters. That's brilliant.
I raise my morning star and roll for intimidation.
Why? Who are you intimidating?
Brian.
Oh, good, yeah, that thief.
20-something.
Holy fuck!
14 plus 20.
Morag, I'm sorry. I swear it was the dwarf. It was the dwarf. It wasn't me. I know you're fully convinced. Look, just you can search me if you want. Do you want to search me? I've only got another 20.
I blow across my fingernails and just rub them on the lapel of my jacket.
Would you roll
which
for
that? Which is chainmail. So it feels weird.
Quickly,
it kind of goes clank, 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 clank.
Quickly
clank.
Roll a d20.
Yeah. 4.
As you do that, you break a nail and you look a massive prick.
I get my dex modifier is 0.
The other two look at you and shake their heads slowly.
Empty your pockets, Brian.
Brian empties his pockets. There's a further 25 gold pieces in there, a picture of a 27-year-old boy, and a photo of his head, his face.
What wizardry is this? How has he an image of his child?
Did dwarf elves not have photos? Like, it's just a photo of my son. I carry it with me to remind me of him. He's been gone 3 days.
Dark magic.
Dark magic indeed.
There is also
I see demons also have photos of their children. What are you not lying?
There is also a small scrap of paper that falls from his pocket.
I grab it and hand it to Tithe because I can't read for shit.
I put on my, as up until this point, unused half-moon spectacles, which I'm quite sheepish about.
I just hold in a smirk as he puts his glasses on.
All right. Just for reading, I say in my, I just go, gruff adventurer's voice.
60-foot dark vision, mate.
Okay. I read the note and it says
the password is in the toilet.
Okay. I immediately go to the toilet because I'm just interested to know what this password is.
Okay, you walk down a small
Go to the toilet. I just stand there watching Tithe because I've no idea what's on the note. He's just read it to himself and walked on. Look at him like
I've just broken from the group.
Yeah. I take Brian's gold, stare at him and say, stay where you are, and walk towards the fire. The guys are still throughout this entire scene flinging
shit in there. Morag strolls towards the fire whilst Tithe walks down a very dark passage towards a door which says WC.
With Brian's 25 gold.
We've just totally bullied Brian so much. It's brilliant.
No, all right. I'm going to sit down next to Brian and be nice to him. I'm going to be like, yeah, she is a terrible monster, isn't she, Brian?
Brian is terribly confused as Chagrin has been nothing but intimidating and bullying to him. And now Brian is
blowing hot and cold.
At best suspicious.
What's the skill for giving someone Stockholm syndrome? Because that's what I'm attempting to do. I'm essentially
gaslighting Brian. You're totally making...
Is it deception? Persuasion?
I think you'd have to roll for persuasion. But roll for persuasion in a minute, because at the moment, Tithe is walking.
I want to know what's going on in the loop.
There's a door which says WC.
Don't break the narrative.
If you're enjoying these adventures, there's loads of ways that you can get involved with us. If you go to our website, chaoticadequate.com, we are collecting fan art. If anything has struck you as particularly a strong visual image during this episode, do us a sketch, do us a painting, do us a drawing, send it in. We will stick it on our website and we will send you in return some very, very limited edition hand-painted Chaotic Adequate merchandise that I am making in my kitchen. Go to the website and have a look for those.
They are ridiculously awesome.
Similarly, if you want to speculate about what the fuck Gregory is doing, or indeed what the fuck any of us are doing, we've got a fan theory section on our website where you'll also find me, Angus and Amanda speculating on what the hell is going on and why as each episode comes out.
I mean, I won't be speculating on there because no. I obviously have all of the answers.
We don't want underneath Greg just smugly putting, I know. So if you can work out what the hell is going, the other thing you can do with your fan theory page, if you've started to ship some of these characters, do let us know.
Please
possibly
do.
Even write the stories of how they get it on.
Because there's lots of budding romances between the three of them. I think.
Well, and the NPCs.
Oh, the NPCs are filthy bunch.
Any NPC that lives long enough to have a romantic entanglement would be a great treat. So you can also find us on Twitter. We're twitter.com/chaoticadequate. Tweet at us and we will say thank you. We'll say thank you during this podcast. We might even name characters after you. We will name characters after
we
you.
We definitely will name characters after
tweet
you.
Tweet at us and we will name characters after you. Send us fan art and we will send you amazing merchandise. Tell us your stories and theories and we will have a chat. Go on to instagram.com/chaoticadequate if you want to see the latest either brilliant fan art from listeners or just mad photos of the performers that I've taken looking petrifying.
We have done some proper cosplay.
Yeah.
We have been LARPing the shit out of things. We met up the other day just to go to the forest to take photos of ourselves. It was wonderful. Do get involved. And if you do send us tweets and that, if you could fit into the tweet just the word dead or not dead, we will know whether you intend your character, your NPC.
If we name an NPC after you, listen, Greg, you can introduce what NPCs you want. I cannot guarantee that they remain not dead.
I mean, you can almost certainly guarantee they will die.
Yeah. Sorry, listeners. We don't mean anything by it. Now back to the action.
Okay, I push open the door that says WC.
You walk into a toilet. The toilet has two stall cubicles, right, and a sink, and loads of graffiti scrawled over the wall.
I examine the graffiti.
Most of it is essentially just massive slurs about other people,
right,
probably saying something about their mothers. But one piece of graffiti stands out to you, which simply says, the password is... Ken sent me.
Ken sent me. Okay, interesting. Right, Ken sent me.
I asked Brian if he wants a drink.
Yes, please.
What would you like?
Could I have a pint of mead?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I go off to the bar to get Brian a pint of mead.
The stout yeoman of the bar. A pint of mead? That'll be five copper pieces, please.
Can I also have... What other drinks do you have?
We've got mead, we've got ale.
I'll stop doing my gruff voice because I'm not trying to intimidate anybody.
We've got mead, we've got ale, and we've got this lovely little moonshine.
Right.
The moonshine, however, two gold pieces, because it's fucking strong.
Right. So we'll get a pint of mead for Brian,
right,
a pint of ale for me,
right,
and a moonshine on the side. I'm going to make a Boilermaker with the moonshine and the ale. What's that in total, barkeep?
In total, that's two gold, one silver, please.
I go over and sit down with Brian and just hand him his drink and chat like we're old mates. Regardless of how he reacts.
I turn to the hooded figures throwing shit into the fire. What brings you here?
Who are you?
Give me your name, fire shit slinger. And then I'll give you mine.
I say to Brian, look, she's fucking up another basic human interaction. What a monster.
Have a I bit turn more mead, to Chagrin lad. And say, shut the
no,
fuck
I
up.
No, I say it really quietly. I say it really quietly.
Brian enjoys his drink, but goes, Chagrin, please, shh. Pipe it down. This could be good over here. Let's keep an eye on it. We have no name. We are but priests.
Priests of who?
We're priests of the new flesh. We're priests of the new gods. The gods that will come after.
The new gods? I worship one of the old, the god of death.
Yes. You may have seen we've thrown his effigy into the fire already. How'd you like them apples?
I raise my morning star and shield. Roll for intimidation.
I'm enjoying a lovely drink.
Ah, two.
I'm just having a lovely drink.
You can try and kill us, but if you strike us down... it won't make a difference. There's fucking loads of us. If you get rid of us, another two priests will come in and burn these effigies of all the old gods. Burn all the old books. It's time for new gods.
I take a different route and roll for charisma instead. Five.
Whilst we notice that you are slightly nicer than you are intimidating...
I smirk and elbow Brian.
Brian's getting a bit comfortable and giggles and chinks his glass with you.
Tell me about your religion then. Why must you burn it all?
Because we need to make way for the new creation, the new gods. We will tell you no more than this. However, we could offer you a reward if you destroy one of the old temples.
Since I'm good at dart throwing, I'll make a bet with you. If I throw this human...
It's like the devil went down to Georgia.
If I throw one of those...
With
if
darts.
I throw one of those...
I'm going back to the bar to get another round. Because we're settling in to watch this. So I'm just getting a refill. Another pint in a shot for me, another pint for Brian.
Two gold, one silver, please, sir. Yeah, cheers.
If I throw one of those flaming bits of wood and hit Brian, you will tell me all.
I say, don't worry, I'll defend you, good friend.
Pay no heed to the dwarf. It's one of my skills.
I'll tell you what. If you succeed in hitting the dwarf as well as the crying man, we will give you all the knowledge you want and we'll give you a bag of 100 gold just for the lols.
Entire hallelujah.
As far as I can see, I've exited
the loo and I'm walking towards this interesting development over by the fire.
I daze at Chagrin, trying to communicate.
Am I drunk yet?
Go along with it. So
I had two shots
money.
Of moonshine and two pints of ale, but on the other hand, being a dwarf, I have advantage and resistance versus poison.
Now it's going to take about another 5 for you to get gone.
I gaze at them, try to communicate silently to go along with it so we can get this gold.
I go over to Morag and I say, why are you trying to get more gold? Ow! And I feel her foot on my toe to suggest shut up.
You can see the priests smiling under their hoods.
Can I do a perception check, see if I even notice what's going on?
I mean, you can, yeah.
Because my wisdom's not good.
Bloody love perception check.
One minus one. One plus one, two.
Chagrin is bloody loving his drink. He knows stuff is happening, but what that is, he doesn't really care. He doesn't know.
That's a role play.
That's a role playing check. That's just emphasizing.
His perception is low.
Morag, I'm into what you've got going on.
Cover me.
Okay.
Explain later.
What do you need me to do?
Well, I'll split the gold evenly, but I must hit Brian and Chagrin with this hunk of flaming wood in order to...
The priests hand you one bit of flaming wood.
I hurl the wood towards Brian and Chagrin, trying to hit them both in order to get the gold.
Roll a d10.
9.
Fuck.
You throw the burning bit of wood and it deftly hits Brian in the head, knocking him unconscious immediately. Everyone stares.
Has it Chagrin too?
Everyone stares in wonder as it rebounds off Brian's bruised head, flings itself tremendously high into the sky, and as it slowly comes down, Chagrin looks up at it. We see him in slow motion, and it twats him right in the throat.
Oh.
Chagrin rolls for damage. It mildly knocks the breath out of you, but you're fine. Okay. And as you lay on the floor, furious at what's happened, you can see Morag laughing her face off and the priests giggling along with her.
I high-five Morag.
I'd just like to roleplay my really low perception check from earlier on. I punch Brian for throwing it at me. Because the first time I was aware of it, it's coming from Brian's direction. So I punch the unconscious Brian.
You punch
not
the
like in a way to try and knock hit points off, but just to kind of fucking stop fucking about kind of way.
As you punch the unconscious Brian,
not in the face, because that's how he makes his living.
As you punch the unconscious Brian, everyone in the bar looks around and just goes, "Ooh."
Give me the gold, priest.
Fucking gold is yours. The priests throw 100 pieces of gold at you, clothed in a bag. So
DM,
you're all
point
right.
Of detail: did I spill my drink?
You didn't spill your drink.
That's
no.
Fine then.
I keep 50 and give 25 to tithe and 25 to Chagrin.
Sweet. I took my tithe. That's why I have my name.
Yes.
I just look really confused because I've no idea where this money has come from or why or what is happening.
I had it when we started off, mate.
Stop lying. It's because you were a good sport. Right, priest?
Yeah. Why not? And I believe we also were going to give you some information.
Yes.
The other side of the river, there is a new dawn appearing. A new creation is starting. There are new gods inventing a new Eden, a new paradise, and they are slowly making their way here, and they will raise this fucking place to the ground. The only way to get on board with them is to convert. You've said that you follow the god of death or the death god. We have no interest in these old gods. You must get rid of this obligation, of this faith, in order to survive much longer. The end is coming. The beginning is coming.
As a man who has a pact with one of the grand old ancient ones, I find talk of the new gods utterly bullshit because I'm aware of their strange, unknowable, tentacly strangeness that is my guys. So I instead wander over to the horse dude because I'm like, I feel like he feels a bit like, because as we're shopping around, I feel like let's bloody do this. So I go over to the horse guy and I'm like, hello mate, what go on? What's happening?
And the horseman looks at you and says, "I beg your pardon. Sorry, what was that?"
Hello, mate. I've never met a human such as myself hanging out with one of these frog dudes. But I'm curious to meet him. Could you introduce us?
As the man looks you directly in the eye, you hear from the direction of the bar, "Are you not going to buy a fucking drink or what? You've been wandering around the place, causing havoc, and the only one who's bought a drink is that fucking dwarf."
I get around him immediately.
I turn to my two companions and I go,
"I have a weakness for drink."
See, It's like you humans don't know the basic bar etiquette.
I'm not a human, you fucking idiot. I'm half elven.
I completely am, and I'm owning it.
Listen, elf's just a posh human.
Right then, I see you getting around it. What are you having? As you know, there's mead, ale, and moonshine.
I'll have moonshine and mead, please. I'll have mead with a moonshine chaser.
Righto, straight up. That'll be an amount of 2 gold. Fuck it, I'm making the prices up as I go along. This is my pub, and you'll live by my rules under it.
You'll give me beer for free for gracing it with my presence.
Can I roll to admire negotiation skills? Because I really do.
I just want to grumble about the fact that 14. Prices are higher for dwarves than they are for everybody else.
Did you not see the sign?
Oh, yeah.
It's because you can drink more.
Yeah, but that is true.
14.
You can't intimidate me with that, love.
I tried charisma instead.
15.
Although with that, I'll give you a little something for free. Would you like a bag of peanuts?
I thirst, my friend. I do not hunger.
All right, and I'll tell you what. Best I can do is a pint of ale. Just keep it to me and you. Keep it to yourself. Keep it on the DL. The QT. Very hush-hush.
I wink.
Slides you over for a free pint of ale. Gives you a shitload of moonshine.
Nice. Joy, immediately bosh.
You, sir, want any more?
Because I bloody love
this
it.
This round's on the house.
Right, in that case, yeah.
Drinks all round. Everyone gets more drinks.
Yep. Except for Brian.
Who was unconscious.
Who somehow denied him drinks.
And to be honest, he's nothing but fucking trouble every time he comes in. I have half a mind to kick him out of here.
I bring the two adventurers I arrive with together and I go, friends, although you use magic, you can never be my real friends. Friends, what have we learned so far? I feel that much has transpired in a short time, such that my dwarf brain, which is really for mining purposes only, can't really keep track of it all.
Well,
as if we've been given a number of side quests that I've forgotten.
Well, Brian wanted us to go find his son. We're sort of toying with whether or not to sack that off. I also found a password in the toilet that said Ken sent me, although the purpose of that is as yet unknown. Morak, what are you bringing to the table?
You guys each got 25 gold because I shared it.
Thanks, pal. I got a round in.
After I got my beer for free, fool.
All right, mate.
And then there's those priests over there that want us to raise the temple to the ground to bring forth a new realm of gods. But I think they're a little mental because if they're that powerful, why are they sitting there throwing shit into a fire?
Yeah, I feel like they're outsourcing ridiculously.
Yes. But what about that frog man?
I see.
Indeed. I was on that before the barkeep interrupted. All this is going on, I believe, while we're still stood next to the horse and the frog guy mid-conversation.
The horseman bears you no consequence. He's just reading his lovely book about all of the shit you know about horses.
Sweet.
He's having a grand old time, and occasionally he's looking up at the bullywug. And the bullywug's there just going, rabbit.
I say, friends, which of these quests will enable us to smite the most filthy magic git?
Friend, we haven't heard from the bullyfrog yet.
I'm confused enough.
I use my animal handling wisdom.
Just before using your animal handling wisdom, the three of you, having discussed it thoroughly with one another, realise that where you're up to at the moment is you've accepted a quest from Brian the human to save his son, who is being held at the old stables, and you know that he will give you 20 gold apiece on the return of his 27-year-old son, even though you have knocked him the fuck out. And he is currently on the floor. See, hopefully he's okay. But regardless of all of that, you know that he wants to get his son back from the trapper people.
See, I ultimately, although I'm going along with a lot of this horseplay, my ideal is one of fairness, and so I kind of feel like this is we even though we've massively beaten up Brian, we should probably do right by him by actually trying to at least have a go and have a sort of cursory look for his son.
Tithe, good friend. Amnesia's very common after a head injury. It's unlikely that he'll remember the.
But what about that witchcraft
ungraciousness
photograph?
Ungraciousness done to him.
Well, indeed. What about the witch? Yeah. Well, yeah. There's well.
On top of this, you have learnt about the startings of a new religion, which apparently, according to two priests who don't seem particularly smart, will bring about the end of all things, and the only way to curry favour with the new gods is to destroy some temple you've heard of.
I embrace death, as it is my god that I worship.
On top of
don't
this...
Don't fear it.
You have acquired a password Ken sent me. The purpose of this password is, as yet, unknown to all three of you.
I have a go at whispering Ken sent me to the table that has the horse and frog guy on it.
The horseman looks at you and just goes, who? I don't understand. What did Ken send?
Sorry, I was just trying something out.
Okay.
You heard him very well, horseman.
Well, let me rephrase. Why are you telling me that Ken sent it to you? I don't know who Ken is, and I don't know why he would have sent three people. I mean, you're clearly three questers here for glory, I imagine. No doubt you've spoken to the crying man over there. The crying man who's...
Friends, it's an anagram. Kent Seaman.
Try that password.
By the old gods and the new. Kent Seaman.
Seven.
I scream at the horseman. I insistently, with a real vehemence in my eyes, of a man who has solved a tricky puzzle.
The horseman stares at all three of you, his face beset with panic. Where is this seaman and where is Kent of which you speak? What have the two to do with one another? And why are you bringing your seaman to my table? I have no interest in your seaman, whether it be from the south, the north, the west, or the east.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
I say, Ty, this feels like your kind of area.
How does the bully frog react to that, the bully wug?
He's just the bully wug. Be very careful with the pronunciation of his
name.
It's like several races dancing around.
I can't help that my intelligence is 8.
The horseman looks at you and says, I've known this chap for a while, and we're very familiar with the tricky, tricky tightrope of pronouncing the man's race. So, for short, we call him
and
Bully.
And indeed, pronouncing the word tightrope.
Bully.
Bully. Hello, Bully.
My pronunciation is my business, sir.
Intimidation.
What brings you to this tavern?
Greetings, Bully.
Greetings, Bully. Greetings, horseman.
I pull out my strange animal tooth from my bag. Bully, do you know where this comes from?
Bully takes the strange animal tooth and puts it in his mouth, and it fits perfectly in. It was a missing tooth of his. He ribbits a kind of thank you imagine, and then smiles whilst making more indecipherable frog noises. While he makes these noises, he looks around all three of you, just trying to tell whether any of you can speak his native language of Bullywug.
No, I go to the bar. I'm getting another round.
Chakrin's had enough.
I turn to the horseman. I've returned your mate's tooth. What is he saying? Is he saying he's going to give me gold for returning it?
Oh, no. Bully there is just saying thank you very much. He's been looking for that. He lost it about a year ago. Would you believe it? A year ago. I don't know where that tooth's been and how it ended up in your possession is anyone's guess. Maybe you could share that story with us.
Oh, I found it in the pocket of a man I killed while I was bounty hunting.
Was this man wearing a red velvet jacket?
Yes, he was very much a toff.
The bastard! You say you killed him?
I did.
Then you may ride my horse for free any time.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Nice.
I suppress a smirk, bearing in mind I'm 3 pints and shots down.
Could I also say, just to make sure that no one misinterprets it, when I say you can ride my horse anytime...
I smirk again.
So not euphemistic. I just mean I own a couple of horses and I charge people to ride them. But you will
I'm still smirking. This isn't getting better.
By ride, I mean utilise them as a vehicle.
Like of the equine.
an equine. An equinical.
Yes.
An equine vehicle.
Yeah.
Look, may we please get a discount for horses for my party?
Well... You can have horses for free for you and all of your party.
Oh,
look
you,
how happy
horses.
You've made Bully. Yeah. Ribbit, 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 ribbit. Yes. Ribbit, ribbit. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit.
Friends, we should ask for 4 horses, then we can sell one.
No, let's not take advantage of this man's kindness.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've done all right out of this. It's
Chagrin sways as he makes this this pronouncement.
I'm chaotic and drunk.
I think you just have a secret
who
hunger for horses.
Who knows what
I think
ideas
you're drunk
are
going to
come next?
As Chagrin is now 5 drinks in, he has reached his golden drunk.
I would like to put this in perspective. I've now spent more on booze in this tavern than I did on weapons when creating my character.
Do you know, horseman, of these trappers, and could you give us any advice? Do you know of this new religion?
Oh, I've no business with religion. I've no interest. And the trappers are an interesting group of people. Goblins, they are. Mm. They, amazingly, the trappers was not the first name they went by. They went by a couple of other names. But for some reason, they landed on trappers. They started being known as Miscellaneous Goblin Baddies. When that name changed...
Oh, the MGP.
That is exactly what they knew themselves as for short. And they're a big fan of shorthand. I myself...
That's the short.
Could you put a leash on your dwarf friend?
I have, amongst my equipment, a small iron pot, which I place over Chagrin's head for a while.
I'm drunk enough I let this horseplay go. I'm enjoying the sound of my own voice echoing around a little iron pot. Hello, hello, hello. Chagrin.
The horseman looks bewildered yet amused at this play that you are doing with your dwarven friend. I'll tell you what. These trappers, nasty pieces of work. That man who's all unconscious, they did steal his son. I mean, his son was a proper Balland. Like a nasty piece of work. If you see his son, don't you believe one fucking word he says.
Right, okay.
He's a liar, he's a thug, and if he looks at you the wrong way, oh, you'll know he's looked at you the wrong way. Because his eyes, they will look at you in the wrong way. I don't like him, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're saying his eyes are crossed, sir.
his eyes... one of them is a bit skew-if. They say that as a magic eye, though,
so
that sees into a man's very soul.
Hear that, dwarf? His son has magical abilities. Brian's a liar.
Chagrin's just realised that having his head in a metal pot means he can do really good Bane impressions when Dark Knight Rises. And he's just sitting there saying to himself, I give Gotham to you, over and over again with a metallic ring.
Everyone in the pub looks over at the dwarf. Wondering what these impressions are of. For certainly, Bane does not exist in this world.
I've got an iron pot in my head. I can't see them. I just keep having fun in my own little drunk dwarf world.
I turn to Tithe.
I start tapping my fingers on the top of the pot and shouting to people, guys, you should hear this. It's amazing. Just tapping on the pot.
What shall we do then?
This is my new sound.
I mean... It's getting a bit stuffy in here, and we need to get Chagrin out of here as well before we end up owing more money than we've made.
Horseman, may we please have 3 of your finest steeds? Chagrin, prepare 4 to ride.
4 steeds.
Don't listen to the drunk dwarf.
Yeah. I take out the shovel, which I'm also carrying, and lightly ding the pot which is on Chagrin's head as a disciplinary measure.
My friends, you can have 3 horses, but I'll tell you what, just so you're aware, if you've got 5 gold pieces on you, I can give you a special vial of a potion, right? And this will sober anyone up instantly. Would you like that?
I fish through Chagrin's pocket and find all the stolen gold from Brian.
Chagrin notices that for the first time in his life, a woman's hands are in his lower garments and does nothing to prevent this happening.
Don't you have to do in a minute? If you're stealing off Chagrin, basically, don't you have to do a bit of a roll?
No, he's consenting.
Oh, is he consenting?
She can have a bit of a rummage. That's fine.
And with Chagrin in this state, you would have to just roll over 2.
10.
A million.
Yeah, you just, everything's fine. You give them money to the horseman and he hands you a vial of pink liquid.
But what do? When I realize that Chagrin stole Brian's gold and didn't split it with us? I split my gold,
can
did I not?
Can I take the metal pot off my head?
In a minute.
Okay.
So,
well, that's up to you. I mean, you
how do you
found,
feel about this?
You found that he's got much more gold than he should have. Almost certainly he's stolen the ship from Brian.
I roll for charisma.
Can I just remind you, my 22 deception roll. 22.
That's why I'm rolling for charisma.
And that's why all of your words, they believed wholeheartedly. But they've found the
no,
gold
I
on
had
you.
That on me. I had that on me.
Well, you're
I'm rolling for charisma.
I don't know how your charisma or your deception's going to work when you're
20.
Pissed as a... 20 charisma.
Chagrin.
A word. A word of
how did you come about of this gold in your pocket? It looks like the same amount that Brian left on the table.
It's way less than what Brian left on the table. Remember all the booze I bought? It's a quick bit of metagaming factual correction. There is now, remember you gave me 25, there's 78 there. So
may I please have some of this gold for myself since I rolled the charisma and for Ty?
Yeah, the charisma that Morag is displaying means you immediately just want to do anything to keep her happy.
And I'm like, take the gold, I have my pot. And I just play another little rhythm on the pot on my head.
You give Morag all of your gold.
What is it? 78.
78.
78 gold pieces.
I think maybe like the you should be the treasurer, the adventuring treasurer of this. which Chagrin can be covered as well.
Would you like to take his helmet? It's not a helmet, his metal pot off.
Can I take
off?
It off myself?
You can try. What's your dexterity like?
Not good.
Wow. Well, give it a go. Roll for dexterity.
My modifier is 0 and I rolled a 4.
You try as much as you can to pull this helmet off your head, but in doing so, you fall over.
I style it out. I'm like, I just go, meant to do that.
And as you lay on the floor, giggling manically, the other two adventurers look at you and look at one another, realizing that they've got 3 horses waiting outside if they want to take them anywhere, maybe to find this potential bastard son.
I nod to Morag as I grab one leg, signaling that she should grab the other of Chagrin's legs, and we drag him, metal pothead screeching on the floor, out into the wet murk of the street where the horses wait.
Farewell, new friends, I say.
We're basically reenacting Lust of the Summer Wine at this point.
Which is what it's all been leading up to at this point.
As the three of you stand outside the pub, you notice that it's got dark because you're in the pub for so fucking long.
I don't notice that.
You don't notice. You've got...
take the hat off the dwarf and force him to drink this vial.
Okay. I pull the pot off Chagrin's head whilst I presume Morag, do the vial thing?
Yeah, I mean, he gave it to you.
You gave it to me. I've got the vial. Okay. I pull the pot off his head, and while he's looking around wildly, I pour the vial down his throat.
Chagrin is magically stone cold sober
again.
Do I
not get a saving throw against this poison?
No.
Remember, I've got both resistance and advantage against poison.
Remember, you're very, very drunk. This is it. When you're drunk, the rules change, I'm afraid.
Right, I sober up.
So the three of you, stone cold sober, it is dark and
it is
raining.
I'm making this noise.
There are 3 horses.
So fill me in on what happened.
We're going to go get the guy's kid, mate. Sorry.
And I fondled you and you gave me gold.
So, you know, you've done quite well out of the situation.
I say plus la chance, which is the only French I'll do.
Uh-huh.
I hate the French.
And then
they're a magic using nation, aren't they? That's why their food's so delicious.
There are 3 horses tied to a wooden pole, like in Westerns and that, just outside of the pub. And you know these are the 3 horses which you have been given for use. The road leads off, but as it's so dark at the moment, you can't see where it leads to. You can just see darkness around you. A couple of scorched trees by the pub.
Oh, yeah.
The scorched trees
so long ago.
That you worked out were definitely scorched trees. And all
I wink at the scorched trees to acknowledge my in-depth knowledge of their scorchedness. Like, wink.
The trees indifferently refuse to acknowledge you as they stand there inanimate and silent.
Well, sod you then.
What do you want to do?
I'm just grumbling at the back. I'm intentionally riding slightly slower than the other
have
two.
Have you got on the horses?
No, we haven't got
on
the
horses. I suggest to the group that we get on the horses. Do we concede?
Mount up.
Mount up. Did we establish...
I comically try to get on a horse 4 or 5 times before one of you realises you have to help me.
Right.
Because I'm only little.
Oh, he's a little man.
Do you decide to help Chagrin get on his big boy horse?
If you want help, you have to ask Chagrin.
I refuse to. I'll go, I'll walk.
The two of
my
them.
My dwarven pride is such. I can't ask for help, especially not from a magic user. What, are you going to magically float me up onto my horse? I will not let you use your witching ways.
Morag and Tithe sit on their horses and start moving slowly.
No,
as Chagrin walks behind.
No, we don't want to give up the free horse. I mean, we should lead the extra horse.
Yeah,
alongside.
I take the other horse in my mighty hand and lead it alongside me as we trot.
My base walking speed is 3 miles an hour.
So we have to trot slowly.
Yep.
Because of you. You annoying mad dwarf.
The three of you.
I'm fed up of this and dismount, turning to Chagrin and roll for charisma.
What are you trying to persuade me to do?
Get on the fucking horse.
I can't physically get on the horse.
Chagrin, can I help you get on this horse?
Yes. Thank you for offering to help me get on this horse. And then I get on the horse.
I mount again.
I won't beg a magic user.
The three of you, now on horses, can cover some fucking distance. And you begin riding into the darkness.
I intentionally ride slightly slower than the other two.
Of course you do.
Chaotic Adequate was written and produced by Gregory Aikman, starring Steve Cross, Amanda DeJoya, Angus Dunnican, and Gregory Aikman. It was recorded by Steve Cross, and the music was by Ian Boken.